Naturally, Bengal is a is a transcendental place because it is surrounding Sridharmayapur, and the influence of Sridharmayapur is widely spread all over Bengal. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates were both in East and West Bengal. East Bengal is now known as Bangladesh, or it was known as Bangladesh before, because Banga, there was a barrier to keep out water, a dike, so to speak, yeah, a Banga. And so the land behind the dike became Bangladesh. In 1947, at the time when the British withdrew from India, at that time there was the partition, and at that time Bengal, or the land of Lord Chaitanya, was cut in half, really. And the whole eastern portion, was turned over to Muslims to settle there and to develop their culture there. And, these days, approximately 10 to 15% of Hindus remain, and a percentage of them are Vaishnavas, and practically all the Vaishnavas are devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We found that amongst these Vaishnava devotees, the consciousness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva was even more prominent than in Bengal, than in West Bengal. We found that devotees everywhere are worshipping Lord Chaitanya, the Panchatattva, and so on. Many important places are found in Bangladesh, such as not only the birthplace of Jagannath Misra, of which we saw a little bit in this chapter. There's actually a lot more footage, right, on this this project that that is not shown here, but will come up later, I guess. And there are many other places. The birthplace of Advaita Acharya, on the very edge of the northern border of Bangladesh, the very edge of the land of Goda, we find the birthplace of Advaita Acharya. After that, birthplace, basically what you find is tribal culture. India begins, and then the Bengali culture has ended there. So in this way, we see how everywhere in East Bengal, something is related to our tradition and culture. And going there really was very nice to connect with various holy places and devotees. We went to Advaita Acharya's birthplace. We went to Sachimata's birthplace, Jagannath Misra's birthplace. We went to the birthplace of Sivananda Sen. We went to Srivas Thakur's birthplace, to the birthplace of Pundarik Vijayanidhi, Mukunda Dutta, Vasudev Dutta. We went to Rupa and Sanatan's birthplace, to Lokanath Goswami's birthplace, to Narottam Das Thakur's village Kateri, and also the place where he took bath in the river, where he received the Krishna Prem from Lord Chaitanya, Prem Tali. And finally, we came to Bainapol, which is the place where Haridas Thakur met was visited by that prostitute in the night. And we see there, we see a temple with a deity of Haridas and a deity of the prostitute, Lakshmihira. So it is very interesting to see how she became worshipable, how she became a devotee. I had been thinking before, in each of these places, I had sort of mentally prepared of what I would be doing there, and naturally, coming in the place of Haridas Thakur, I had thought, well, we'll go there and we'll chant japa and maybe we'll stay the whole night, you know. But travel plans didn't sort of accommodate all that, because as Krishna Chaitanya mentioned, it wasn't exactly a journey that was under our control. We were the guest of the Bangladesh devotees, and they took over our lives. Literally, every aspect of it, right? And they surprised us with public programs. They surprised us with parades with motorbikes driving in front of our cars, and devotees standing on the back. 50 motorbikes with devotees standing on the back, calling out, "Gauranga, Nityananda," and then slowly driving in convoy through the Muslim bazaar. It was something. At the end of there, we were mobbed by people who, 7,000 people who decided that they were going to wash my feet, and they did. and so on. It was intense. So in between all these events, we visited holy places. So when we came to the place of Haridas Thakur, we were not exactly in control. There were higher forces than us controlling the situation. And I had thought we would spend time just chanting Hare Krishna. And we did, not as much as I would have liked. And I think I'll go back in the future to spend more time there chanting in that place. But the one thing that struck me was that this prostitute, who was an emblem of lust, practically the personification of lust. And an interesting detail in the Chaitanya Charitamrita narration is that when Ramachandra Khan approached the prostitute to go and pollute Haridas, he said that she should have union with him, and that he would send his constable along, and that then he would arrest Haridas. However, she said that, no, the first night you don't send your constable. First you let me have union with him once, and then the second night you send the constable. So she had more than professional interest, and it was more than just money. She was also particularly interested in Haridas. So in this way, I was thinking, here is the emblem of lust, and she was completely transformed by Haridas Thakur to a point where she was able to chant 300,000 names a day. 300,000 names a day is not easy to maintain as a sadhana. Right? I mean, at 300,000 names a day, one has to practically be at a liberated stage. Otherwise, how can one maintain? Just when you finished, you got to start again. Imagine. Constant chanting. So unless one is chanting with love for the Supreme Lord, with love for the name, how can one chant continuously so many names? So basically, Haridas Thakur transformed lust into love, and that actually became my meditation as we were in that place. I don't think I would have ever thought of that while sitting here on a soft cushion with the Chaitanya Charitamrita in front of me and looking and reading the story. But actually going on that pilgrimage, brought that realization, that insight. So just to illustrate that it truly was a valuable experience for all of us. And I hope to go there again one time, and this time take a much larger group of devotees, maybe all of you, for example. why not? Krishna Chaitanya, in his little preview, showed a strong link with Mayapur. He showed us quite some footage of Mayapur also. But it is a fact that basically everything in Bangladesh is connected with Mayapur, because all these devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming from the east went there to Navadvip and settled there externally for different reasons. Sometimes, like Advaita Acharya, just went there to the ancestral home of his grandfather in Shantipur. That was a reason to go there. Others went to study in West Bengal, and because Navadvip was so famous as a place for study. So there were external reasons to settle in Sridham Navadvip. But obviously, there was only one internal reason. And if we are looking at the Sri Chaitanya Charita, or the diary of Murari Gupta, in there it is described that all these personalities, like Advaita Acharya, Pundarik Vijayanidhi, Srivas Thakur, they were all the elders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they settled in Navadvip. And when these elders settled there, they were all highly evolved transcendental personalities. And they were all internally absorbed in remembering the Supreme Lord. But somehow or other, at that point, they had all forgotten their eternal identities. And therefore, they didn't know of each other who was who in the pastimes of Krishna, and they did not know their eternal connection. Somehow or other, they were covered by Yoga Maya. But although they didn't know, they all felt a natural attraction to each other. And we're seeing Pundarik Vijayanidhi, who is none other than Maharaj Vrishabhanu, who is the father of Srimati Radharani. And Lord Chaitanya used to sometimes call him father, father. Advaita Acharya, who is none other than Mahavishnu or Sadashiva, a direct expansion of the Supreme Lord, Srivas Thakur, none other than Narada Muni. All these personalities came from Bangladesh and settled in Sridhar Mayapur. And although they didn't recognize each other, they felt naturally attracted to each other's association and immediately developed friendship, as Murari Gupta describes it. So in this way, we can appreciate how much Bangladesh is an extension of Sridhar Mayapur. There is a radius around Mayapur, which is still counting as Godamandala Bhumi. And a portion of that ring is actually touching Bangladesh, and Benapol, or the place where Haridas sat and performed his bhajan, is still in Godamandala Bhumi. Then beyond Godamandala Bhumi, or the district of the Transcendental Dham, beyond that is the land of Goda, right? Or the land of Bengal, where the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates took place. Mahaprabhu also went to Bangladesh. It's not exactly sure where he went. Local devotees claim that he came to a river somewhere south of Dhaka, that means central Bangladesh, but the truth of that cannot be established from any scripture. So that is difficult, because when we are in India, to separate fact from myth is a very difficult thing. Stories tend to just grow very quickly and spontaneously, just as as in the rainy season in India, so many plants are growing. It's amazing how much creativity there is in the storytelling. So sometimes local folklore we have to take with a grain of salt and test it with the scripture. Maybe the movie is not always doing that, right? Because obviously when you interview some locals, all right, you know, some of the stories may not be 100% in line with our scripture and so on. But it surely shows something about how much Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is alive in the culture of Bangladesh, and how many devotees there are. ISKCON also has about 15,000 initiated devotees, so it's a very large yatra of devotees, and it's sort of, yeah, a little bit of a forgotten area. Of course, Jayapataka Maharaj extensively preached there, Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj extensively preached there, Bhakti Vikash Maharaj spent many years there, and others. So plenty has been going on, but still, within our movement, I feel that it would be nice if we could find out a little more about this part of our tradition and history. And that was really the idea of our journey. That was the idea of making a film and a book also. As he didn't finish the film, I didn't finish the book. So I can't blame him. but we should do it now, as soon as possible. I hope that that somehow or other, by the end of the year, this project can come to completion. That would be nice.